I didn't bring myself any water. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am.
No. Zoom doesn't know who you are either. So
yeah.
I guess it's a collective thing.
I'm like frazzled today. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where I am here to tell you that Mandy is a liar. She told me I would feel better this week, and I do not. I feel worse this week.
I was wrong in your timeline of where you are in the sickness, because remember, I was sick for like a month.
That's fair.
And you're, what, about 2 weeks then?
2 weeks, almost 2.5 weeks.
So you're at the height of it. And I was already fussing at you off recording about going to get some antibiotics, because that's what you need. Because they gave Karen, you can cut this if this is too much information, but they gave Karen the little Teslon.
Fucking Teslon pearls.
Pearls. I laughed in the med stop's face when they were like, we're going to give you some Teslon pearls. I was like, I will throw them away. Those aren't going to do anything.
And do nothing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll survive.
I'm Mandy of the pods.
I'm Karen from Harview High, and I'm surviving, guys. I'm surviving.
We're going to try to make this episode as quick as possible so we can get some rest.
We're doing great. In our timeline, it is March 7th, and in Yell's timeline, it is March 15th, which apparently is the date my daughter's friend is having a birthday party. And who has a kid's birthday party on a Friday night? I don't like it.
If it was like a sleepover party, I would get it.
But it's not. It's not.
I mean, but I guess like then you don't have to commit your Saturday to anything.
Yeah, but then I go to work and then I come home and then I have to leave again.
You have to do a kid's birthday.
Right. You know?
Why do we have kids' birthday parties at all?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
Just kidding.
I'm just kidding. You want the kids to have their fun time, but at the same time as the adult, as the parent or the guardian, you're like,
I'm tired.
How many people
kids.
Do you know? Why do you have no friends? God.
You couldn't be like me and have no friends as a child. It's fine.
I have to put on real pants. God. Exactly. At least with the twins, they're older, so I can drop them off at a party. Mm-hmm. And then come back later.
I've got a couple years and I'll feel probably okay doing that. So
yeah,
we'll see. Anyways. This week in fangirling, Mandy, what did you do?
I finished Lore of the Wilds by Annalise Brana. Just quick recap. It follows Lore Alameu, who is a 21-year-old human who is ripped from her village very suddenly to help the Dark Fae translate this, all of the books in this like forbidden library, until she finds something that is like some sinister secrets that may put herself and everyone she loves at risk. I really enjoyed it. This is like a really like unique fantasy. It had a twist that like blew my mind. I did not at all see it coming. So like the way my jaw hit the floor at this twist, I am dying for more.
I love that.
I'm dying for more. I also finished Infinity Reaper by Adam Silvera. So it's book two in the Infinity Cycle. So I can't say much. But Emil Brighton and the Spellwalkers have got their hands full with bloodcasters and some very, 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 very corrupt politicians.
Oh, shocking. So
it felt really relatable, even
especially
though
for
I'm
this
not
week.
A spellcaster. Yeah. None of us have any glean craft. None of us have any magic here that we know of, but relatable. Mm-hmm. I watched Vanderpump Rules. everybody but Ariana, who's the girl who was cheated on, and Katie, who is like her business partner now, went to this house on Lake Tahoe. Tom Sandoval still kind of refuses to take any accountability for anything, which is par for the course. People will say, like, you cheated on our friend. You broke all of our trust in you. It's not just about her. It's about all of our individual relationships with you as a friend. None of us can trust you anymore. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, well, you always blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's not about them right now. It's not about what they do. You broke everyone's trust. And that's what we're addressing right now. So that was a whole thing. And then I've got to tell you about Love is Blind.
Please do. Because Beth has been like, I'm watching this and this shit. And I'm like, I need y'all to tell me this shit.
Okay. So just like a little recap for anybody who's like living under a rock and doesn't know like the premise of the show.
Right.
So they take a bunch of singles and they put them in pods. Okay. So you'll have 15 women living, I think it's 15, 15 women living in the women's quarters, 15 men living in the men's quarters. And every day they do like kind of speed dating between each other, where they go into what they call the pods, which is where I'm from this week. And there's a wall between them. And so they cannot see the person that they're talking to. They can only hear their voice and they talk. And the further you go into it, I think they're in the pods for 2 weeks. The further you go into it, you can select, I don't really have a connection with these people. I don't need dates with them anymore. I'm really trying to focus my days on these people because I think that they are potential love matches. If you find, if you say that you have found love, you can propose marriage to this person through a wall. Literally, they get on a knee at the wall first. And if they, like, if both parties are like, yes, we're getting married, then you go on a trip to Mexico with the other engaged couples. And they spend a week on like a honeymoon getting to, now that they've revealed, of course, they reveal faces now, and see if they have like physical connection, attraction, and can get along outside of this little bubble. And then they move into a small like apartment or townhouse together for like a week or two. You introduce your new fiance to your friends and family. Then you get married like at the end of the month. So there were several love triangles, but the biggest was a love square. A love square. So we have Chelsea, Trevor, Jimmy, and Jessica. Ultimately, spoiler, 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 spoiler. Jimmy chooses Chelsea, right? And I raged because the guy that was in love with her, Trevor, he was so nice. And when she comes in, like Jimmy proposes and she says yes, Trevor was like sitting there waiting to propose to her because like, aww, she had a date with Jimmy and then date. And so he said, if I had asked you first, would you have said yes to me? Like if I had been on your schedule first. And he said, I'm really happy for you, Chelsea, because I really love you. And I just want you to be happy. And then at one point he says, I don't want to walk out of here crying in front of a bunch of dudes. So like, I'm going to chill here for a little bit, but you are free to go. And like, I hope you have a good life. And his lip is quivering. And you're just like, oh my God, he's so nice. Come to find out, homeboy had a girlfriend the whole time, like a serious girlfriend at home, and was just here to be on the show.
Stop.
And to get like notoriety.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, Jimmy has to go in and tell Jessica that he's proposed to Chelsea. And Jessica says, when you see what you are walking out on, you are going to choke. Granted, she's beautiful. She is very, very pretty, but that's not a very pretty attitude. That's all I'm going to say. So it's coming out that a lot of the cast this season were approached on Instagram to be on the show, which is kind of sucking because the premise before was you have to audition. We have to go through psychological, you know, exams and a bunch of questions and interviews. And we have to really see that you are truly in it for love. Like you really want to find love, not getting cold DM'd on Instagram.
Right.
Hey, you're hot. Do you want to be on a show? So I do have to laugh because after the last season, there was a lot of castmates and cast members that have come out from all of the different seasons and said, like, the living conditions are terrible. There's like, they don't feed us a lot. We're like, have to beg for food. Some days we're like starving and we can't leave. Like, they take your phone, all of your IDs and stuff. And so, like, just about every date, every encounter, there's always like a smorgasbord of food. And I was like, Netflix is like, you're not going to say we keep feeding them. But now there's like speculation that some of the food is fake. Like there's one scene where they're sitting at a table and there's a giant charcuterie board between them and they're eating. Nothing on that charcuterie board is touched. What kind of a human are these robots?
What?
Because what kind of a human can sit in front of a charcuterie board and not demolish it in 10 seconds flat? Like I does not compute. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
That thing would have been inhaled.
Yeah. And so it's like, is that cardboard? Like, is that even actually food? I still hate the premise because they say it's love blind. You know, can you fall in love with someone no matter what they look like? It is still on, I think this is season 6 or 7, 30 hot people. Everyone is toned. Everyone has perfectly white teeth. Everyone has perfectly manicured eyebrows and beards. And there's not a weird mole. There's not a double chin. There's no cellulite anywhere. So it's like, of course, they're going to see their person that they're in love with and be like, I'm still in love with you. Love your six pack, babe. You didn't need a BBL. You were born with that. Like, really, guys?
Yeah.
And then, okay, last two things, and then I'll shut up about it. Jimmy, who's the guy that was in the love square, is absolutely terrible. And he's one of, like, it gives me like Donald Trump vibes. Like, you know, when he says things and he just like expects you to believe it. Like, this dude will say, no one tells their significant other that they love them more than I do. No one here, no one's happier than me here. Like, no other couple is better than us. We're the best couple. And it was like he was saying it. If I say it enough times, it'll be the truth. No one is happier than me. And it's always when he's defending something, when she's like, you don't seem very happy. No one here is happier than me. I'm the happiest guy. I have the best partner and everything is the best. What are you talking about? Oh, no one's happier. Shut up. So we're kind of hoping it gets canceled because it's just terrible. It really is. I mean, it's good TV, but it's like you're approaching people on Instagram now instead of actually trying to see if people find love. There's nobody that's, you know, looks normal. Everybody looks like supermodels. It's just kind of trash TV. But my last note is fans just keep going back, hoping that we'll get the feeling that season one gave us with Cameron and Lauren, who were the first couple to get engaged on the show. They got married. They are still together. Something like 6 years later, they are so in love. Like, I want to see that again because that was magical.
Yeah, for sure.
Wonderful. But anyways, that was my trash reality week. What did you do this week?
I read The Heart Principle by Helen Huang, which is the third book in the, what's the series name? I forget. The Kiss Quotient. The Kiss Quotient.
Kiss Quotient, yeah.
I was like, I can't remember what's the name of the first book. So this one does follow. So book one was Michael, book two was his cousin Kai, and book three is Quan, who is Michael's cousin / best friend and also Kai's brother. And so you've got Kai and I didn't write down her name and I can't remember. I feel bad. But the female lead is like this kind of like prodigy violinist. And she's struggling right now because she kind of went viral. Like, there was a video where she was playing and it went viral. Everybody was saying like how wonderful she was and all of this. And she had a famous like composer write her a song for her to play.
Dang.
Which is amazing.
That's unheard of.
But Anna. But then.
Is it Anna?
Is it Anna? I think so.
I Googled it.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah. And so Anna is basically, her days are trying to practice the song, but she can't. She gets to a certain point. So Anna has like perfect pitch, right? And so she gets to a certain point and she's like, that was bad. I need to start all over. Like, she can't power through to get to the end. And so she's getting increasingly frustrated with herself and all of this.
And that makes you worse.
Exactly. And so, and then her boyfriend, her like long-term boyfriend, decides like, hey, she thinks he's about to propose. What he does is, I think you've only ever been with me. I've only ever been with one other person. We should open up our relationship and just make sure that there's no one else before we commit and get married. Yeah. And she's like devastated, obviously, for obvious reasons, because she thought he was going to propose. And so she decides, with the help of her like two internet besties, that she's gonna have like a one night stand, kind of as like revenge for him doing this. Like, she's not actually interested in dating other people, but she's like, I'm just gonna,
you're not gonna be jealous then.
Right.
Why do you care? Yeah.
And so she matches with Quan on a dating app. And they like text back and forth for a little bit. And it's like really cute because like they end up like texting, like he's watching a documentary when they first start messaging. And she was like, oh, I really like that one. And she's like, where are you? I'll put it on and we'll watch it together. And so they're like messaging while watching a documentary. It was very cute.
They had movie night with Beth.
Basically. And so Quan has his own hangups because he recently had cancer. And so he had to have surgery and all that. It was testicular cancer. And so he has hangups on that because he's like, well, things are not normal down there. Things are different and all, but not in like a toxically masculine way. Just like he feels less
self-conscious.
Right. Self-conscious way. Yeah. Because he is a sweetheart. This man
that's understandable, though. I feel like most people would feel that way about if their body is different than
right exactly than
what they think the norm would be.
Right. And so he had joined the dating apps to just kind of like see if he could put himself back out there, because since surgery and healing and all of that, he hasn't hooked up with anybody, where before he was like hooking up left and right. And so he's like, okay, we're gonna try. And then they like meet and really like each other, and things progress because romance. And
romance, it's wonderful
romance reasons. And it's really cute. My one gripe about it is that we see Michael from like book one, his cousin, and Stella in this story, but like for some reason there is no mention of Kai. There's no mention of his brother at all. And they were like,
it's weird
close. And the other thing is, and I don't consider this a spoiler, because based on what we know about the first two books, where there were one of the main characters was on the spectrum, I don't consider this a spoiler. Anna is eventually diagnosed as on the spectrum.
I mean, yeah.
And so
I just assumed based on what you told me. Right. I hope that doesn't make me like shitty. I just like, but knowing like, the author, how the author writes.
Knowing the author, knowing the first two books.
Previous characters, yeah.
And, you know, it kind you of just makes sense. Assumption. Especially when they go together. And so the other thing that really, like, was kind of irritating to me was in the first book, Quan had met Stella for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes. And, like, he picked up on the signs that she was possibly on the spectrum and, like, mm-hmm. told this to Michael. But in his book, when Anna's exhibiting like similar signs, he's not picking
way more time with her,
he's picking none of it up. And I'm like, what, where is the,
you're like, boy, come on now,
like, especially since your brother is also on the spectrum and you grew up with him, like, you know, kind of like similarities. Obviously everybody who's on the spectrum is different, but like there are certain things that like are similar.
There are common things, or else it couldn't be a diagnosis.
Exactly. And so that was just like a little weird. I'm like,
why?
I don't know. Why?
Why?
So yeah, but it was really cute. I think possibly that it's my favorite of the three, even though it had those like weird little things like why. But like, Quan, like, I've loved Quan since book one, and so I was really excited for him to have his own book. So I was very excited. So that was that. I read Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. This book has been like built up in my head for like a year. And it was everything. I loved this book so much. You've got, again, I should have written names down, but you've got the two main characters they were like college sweethearts.
Like S.
What?
It was like an S? No.
No.
That's the next person.
That's the next story. Book. That's book two. Soledad is book two.
Yasmin and Josiah?
Yes. Thank you.
I just got Goodreads open.
That's really smart, and I should probably start doing that when we do these.
I was trying to discreetly look to help you out because I knew it would bother. If it was me, it would bother me. Like,
yeah. So we've got
name.
So Yasmin and Josiah, they were like college sweethearts. They were very much in love, and we see that at the very beginning of the book. Like the first chapter is them like getting engaged, essentially, mm-hmm. and then the book kind of opens, and it's, I don't know, over a decade later, and they're now divorced after having two kids, after opening a restaurant. Like, they're still business partners. They co-parent. They're very cordial. Like, they're very good to each other. They like are good co-parents. Like,
it's not a cold uncoupling.
Right. There was a very, very good reason for their divorce, but Josiah is still really upset about it for good reason, because he didn't want to get a divorce, and Yasmin just kind of forced it onto him. Mm-hmm. But because of the things that happened leading up to that point, it makes sense, but you don't mm-hmm. really kind of find that out until, you know, you get further into the book, so I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there is an author's note at the beginning with like content warnings and all of that. And so you kind of have an idea of what exactly happened without them having told you. But I still kind of feel like maybe if you want to discover that yourself. But it is very like, God, these two are very clearly still in love with each other.
Yeah.
And they are trying to figure out just life. Like, she was in a depressive state for a really long time, and he was trying to get over this divorce. And so now they are, co-parenting, and things just keep coming up. Josiah has started seeing somebody new, and Yasmin is like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm ready to do that, but like then she sees them together and she's like, okay, maybe I'll try,
Yeah.
and then eventually romance things happen, and of course it ends with an HEA because that's what romance books do. But it is so like definitely read the author's note for content warnings because there are some heavy, heavy topics. But Kennedy has this way of like writing about these heavy topics that are just she's so sensitive to them. And
Yeah.
she makes a note of it, like in her author's note, that she consulted people who were diagnosed as depressed, a therapist, a psychiatrist, all like she consulted people
Yeah.
to write this book as authentically and as conscientiously as possible. And it shows. It really shows. And I
Good.
just got my copy of This Could Be Us today, so I'm really excited to be able to read it because the audiobook has like a 9 week wait, and I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
no. That's for one of my libraries. My other library, it says several months. It has one copy and like 200 people waiting in line. And I'm like, no, I will read my book.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'll read my physical book. Thank you.
And then I finished At the End of the World by Nadia McHale. This is the story of.
When you say that, my brain goes, this is the story of a girl named Lucky. I'm a child of the 80s, but grew up in the 90s, so.
Truly, that was where my mind went as well. As I
It's
started saying it, I was like, oh no,
either
am I about to
that
start
or
singing?
this is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world.
Am I about to start singing? It's a toss-up as to which one comes out. Truly.
Yep.
Truly. Okay, so you've got Aisha and her mom who are going on a journey to find her sister, Jane, who left like several years ago after a falling out because it's the end of the world's coming. So, might as well make up with each other. And on this journey, they are joined by Aisha's boyfriend, Walter, who is the sweetest, and his parents, who are also amazing, and a stray cat that she has named Fleabag because she didn't even want him to follow them. But Walter's
Be
like, be nice to him. I don't want him to
nice
die
to
with
Fleabag.
nobody. And it was a really quick read. Like I wasn't expecting how fast I got through it. It's YA. It's really quick. It does tackle like there are reasons why Jane left and why she needed to leave, and like I feel like a lot of people could possibly relate to that. It's just like they also had a falling out because of it, which makes sense in a family dynamic where everybody's kind of a little bit broken.
Yeah.
But it was really good. It obviously, it's set like 8 months before the end of the world, so you're like, well, I don't know how happy this ending could be, but like
Okay.
it's like at the end it's as hopeful as it could be for people outside of the story.
Yeah.
Like you can take things away from it where you're like, okay, I feel okay about like
I feel
life.
fine, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, but I liked it. It was fun. I have continued watching Shogun. It is really good. I really like it, actually.
I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth last night and my husband turned that on, but I thought he turned on Ed, one of the Walking Dead spinoffs.
Oh,
And so I was like, is Rick speaking Simish?
okay.
Because I had my electric toothbrush going and I was like, I cannot understand a thing that these people who are supposed to be Southern are saying. Then I walked out and I was like, it's because they're speaking Japanese. Okay. That's fine.
God, that's so
It's like you had
funny.
your dumb girl moment.
Oh man, it's good. It's you can tell that they're going to play up certain characters into a romance, and I'm here for it.
Brutal.
I'm
I
here for
can't watch it. I can't watch it because it's too brutal for me.
it.
That
Yeah.
dude got boiled alive
He
and
did.
screamed the whole
He
time. Nope.
did. And then there are several people whose heads get chopped off.
I just put my AirPods on and my Kindle up like this.
It's a good time. But
Yeah.
I like it. It's really well done, I think. And it's interesting because obviously, the non-Japanese characters are speaking English, right? But I think they're playing it in like when you read a book and like say a fantasy book and they're like speaking, but they're speaking in a different language but like you understand because that's what you're reading.
You're
That's what
reading it, yeah.
they're doing. Like they're actually speaking English, but in universe they're speaking Portuguese.
Yeah.
And so it took me a second to like understand what they were
Flip
saying,
it.
because I was like, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? I speak a little Portuguese. And why, what? This is English. And I was like,
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
It
we
makes
can speak
sense.
your Portuguese
That, I get it.
only
Okay.
while we're watching this. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I really like it. I'm interested to see where it goes. It's very fascinating. Obviously, I don't know anything about like how much of this is history.
Right. Is it actually true or is it
Right.
dramatized? I mean, a lot of it is
Obviously it's
dramatized,
dramatized, but
but
like how much of it is based in history. So I probably will look into that at some point because it's fascinating. Because you've got like the Portuguese ha along with Spain have like found Japan, and they have opened trade with Japan, but they're nobody else knows how to get to Japan, and so it's a big secret, be and now they're like making all this money off of it. But then you have I guess the main character, he is like an Englishman, and he was on a ship that they were trying to like find Japan because they want to get in on this trade as well. And so now he has lost his ship. He's lost like his crew essentially. And he's
We're merchants.
yeah.
I did hear
And
that. We're merchants.
he is now kind of dragged into this like political game because one of like the Japanese regents is like on the outs with the others because they're trying to like take power and all of this. So like there's infighting between the Japanese and there's different factions, and it's just, and then there's like the whole Catholic versus Protestants, and it's fascinating. Like I really kind of
I
am
wish it
feeling
wasn't
like I want
so
to dig in.
gory because I would love it from like the historical aspect, but
I really want to like dig into it a little bit. So, but if
yeah.
you guys are interested, it's on Hulu. We're not sponsored. That's where I watched it.
Oh,
And then I finally watched the new like Amazon Prime series, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, with Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. I never watched like the movie with Brad Pitt and
was
Angelina
gonna
Jolie.
ask, is it like supposed to be that or is it something completely unrelated?
I think it's meant to be like a remake,
Okay.
or well, from the se I never watched the movie, so I don't know exactly,
Yeah.
but from the series it seems like the Smiths are just, it's like Bond, like you can have multiple
I
Smiths,
never watched the movie either, but I think it's,
something
yeah.
like this. So it might just be like a continuation, you know,
Yeah.
different Smiths.
Gotcha.
So you've got Donald Glover and Maya Erskine being John and Jane Smith, and they are a married couple, and they go on missions, and it is really lovely and insane and chaotic, and there's a love story in it, and I'm just like, what is this?
Mr. and
This
Mrs. Smith gotta be in love, okay?
is magical. It opens, the series opens on like Alexander Skarsgård and some other
Oh,
girl.
wait, I didn't know he was here.
Oh, but he's only in like the beginning. But yeah, because it opens on him and this girl, and they're also
The Smiths.
John and Jane Smith. And then things happen, and I'm like, this was, what just happened?
Yeah, what?
Okay, then. There is understandably a lot of blood at times.
Yeah.
So if you do watch it, just be aware. You'll clearly know when things are happening. There is also, I know this is like a trigger for you. There is a scene where you can hear a bone break,
Thank you for telling me that. I won't watch this
and
anymore.
you will know when it happens, when it's about to happen, so you can like
Ugh.
leave
I
the
hate this new trend. I hate it.
It for it's well, so it was very pertinent to the story. The fact that it was only one time was actually, I thought, good, because they were trying to get rid of a body and needed it to fit into a compost bin. And so it could have been a lot, but it was only one.
Like I have literally chills going from the base of my spine down, like down my shins and into my feet. Like it gives me like shivers.
I was literally watching it, and I was like, Mandy needs to be aware of this.
Yeah, I
I was
can't. I
like,
can't do
to
it.
be fair, I was watching it and I was like, if she had been watching this, she would have left art. Like, she would have known to
Oh, yeah.
leave. But, like, I'm gonna mention it just in case.
No, thank you. I
But
appreciate trigger
it was,
warnings always.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was really well done. And my only complaint was like the pace. I couldn't quite grasp it, like the timeline, because it was like the time between one episode and another. I didn't understand how
Yeah,
much
has it
time
been
that
a day?
was,
Has it been a month?
because it really felt like it was a lot. Because like from this episode to this episode, I'm like, a lot seems to have happened, but I don't know how much time has passed because it feels like it just happened. So that was the only thing that was kind of like, eh.
That's weird.
And then the ending. Somebody on TikTok said it is like a self-contained story and it could end that way. However, no thank you. No.
I reject this respectfully.
Respectfully, no. I need to know at least one more episode to know what happens after that last episode, because
I need some explanation.
I have words. So, yeah, but it was good. I really liked it. And then I read Flirty Little Secret,
Forgot to
but
say
we'll
it.
talk about it in a little bit. So, not a big deal.
I started that too. I just forgot to tell you guys.
Yes. So, we'll talk about it shortly. So, but yeah, that was my week. And I'm
Well,
still just casually dying. It's fine.
do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I'm gonna say my fictional boyfriend is Kwan from The Heart Principle, but also my fictional girlfriend is Jane from Mr. and Mrs. Smith because she crazy. And also I did not know this, but I have a crush on Maya Erskine, apparently. I was watching it and I'm like, she's kind of amazing. Like, she's the kind of like you look at her
I have
and
to look
like you
her up.
see I see like I look at her and I like see femininity, but I also see somebody that could murder me with their pinky.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of love that.
Yep.
So
I don't
yeah.
know people's names. I just know their faces. But yeah,
Right.
I could
Yeah.
see that.
Like, you can see how she's like feminine, but like she gonna murder you. Like, she's probably a sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
Not her, but like her
Yeah,
character
the characters.
for sure. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. How about you?
All right. I think I'm going to go with the fictional bestie in Prudencia from The Infinity Cycle. I freaking love her. I love her confidence. I love her like self-awareness and self-assurance. And I don't want to give too much away, but like there's a point where she's been Emil and Brighton's like very close friend forever. Okay. And someone says something intentionally to try and hurt her. And she's like, I have been around forever. I know you. You are upset in this moment and you are lashing out. But if you think that one, like hurling an insult at me, is going to get rid of me, you're insane because I love you and you love me and you're being crazy. And I freaking love that.
Yes.
I love her. So,
Yes.
Prudencia from The Infinity Cycle, we stan her.
Love, love. I just got those books, so I'm probably gonna dive into them soon because
I
they're so
know we got
pretty.
the coolest packages, guys.
What is our
Mine are
freaking.
actually on my table because I haven't put them away yet. Look,
They're
patron.
so shiny and beautiful,
I know. That's Emil. That's Brighton.
and that's
Guess who
both
that is? Emil and Brighton.
Oh my God.
Babies.
They're so shiny
I know.
and beautiful, and I'm very excited. So thanks, HarperCollins. That was really nice.
Yeah, thanks, besties.
I'm like, I was texting Beth and I was like, I'm feeling some kind of way about getting like the same PR box that Chloe Gong is now posting that she also got. I'm like, we're on the
Hey,
same level.
yeah, I'll take this.
This is very cool.
Yes,
So,
give me that.
yay. That sound means we have an intruder alert. You guys, I'm so excited. We have author of, oh, paper's falling out. Flirty Little Secret, Jessica Lepe here with us. I was reading this book and I forgot what time it was, and all of a sudden it's 3 a.m. So thanks for that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you both for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so happy
We're
you're
so
here.
We're so excited to have you. So the first thing we always ask is if you could give us like a quick elevator pitch of the book if for some reason somebody has not heard of it.
Sure. So Flirty Little Secret is about a very shy guidance counselor at a high school. She lives with depression and anxiety, and she, because of this and a host of other reasons, just she never feels like she's good enough. So she creates this secret online anonymous identity that this person is perfect in every way that she feels she isn't. So she always has the right advice to give. She's very poised, and she's just like this very curated version of herself, which I think we all tend to do at sometimes.
Yes.
But, and of course, unbeknownst to her, the anonymous best friend that she has online just happens to be the hot new history teacher that starts at her high school. That's a romance role that just has to work
romance
out.
Romance reasons. You know?
Yes. For romance reasons.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, his own family drama that he's dealing with, but he actually gets some help from the cute guidance counselor at his new school. And he starts to slowly notice that there's some similarities between her and his online bestie. And of course, some chaos ensues, but like good chaos. And we also have some fun side characters. There's some deeper dives in kind of a look into how Lucy deals with her depression and lives with that and her identity and a lot of like family involvement, sometimes a little bit too much. So yeah, it's a spin on like You've Got Mail, but it's not so much enemies to lovers, but there's
the whole like they anonymous
communicating and don't
kind
realize
of thing.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am obsessed with this book. Like I said, I was reading and I looked up and all of a sudden it was 3 a.m. and I was very tired. But
I still haven't finished, but also equally obsessed. Yeah.
Oh, thank you guys.
The moment that I read this description, I was like, Lucy is one of us. She's such a mood.
Oh my God. Yes, she is.
I highlighted
Our
so many
queen.
Things. Yes. So many things in this book. I was like, oh my God, I relate to that. Oh my God, I relate to that.
Oh my God.
I'm like, is my life being documented, Jessica? What's going on here?
That's honestly like the best compliment that I've gotten from you and from other readers is that they've seen themselves in Lucy. I think a lot of the times, you know, I have depression, I have anxiety, and you feel it can be so isolating. And it can feel like you're the only one that has like these millions of different thoughts and like overthinks every scenario and you know, questions yourself. So it's nice to for the readers, but like, I don't think people realize how much it means to me to have that validated too. So that's my biggest compliment that I get.
You do a great
job. A lot
job
of times
of
you think like, I can't say this out loud because like nobody else feels this way. Mm-hmm. And then when you finally do, everybody's like, oh my God, me too. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're at that point in like society as a whole where people are starting to speak out more about these things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm loving that. And I'm especially loving that we're getting it in books like this, where mm-hmm. we are now seeing it represented on the page so that when we are talking to other people, it's like a little bit less anxiety about talking about our anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the KKK. If you know, you know.
Please read the book.
The first, like, The Confident Kids Club, you guys. First of all, I live with two teenagers. My twin nieces live here half of the year when their dad is deployed. But she makes a reference in front of a group of teenagers to J-14. The way I cackled because my best friend and I used to like walk to the grocery store every month for our J-14. And so like, if I said that to my nieces, they would give me that dead stare that all of those kids, like, what? Were you part of any like of these weird like clubs that like parents and like staff force on kids? Or did you just like, thank God I never had to deal with anything like that, but I'm going to put my characters through it.
It's worse. I facilitated the group.
Oh no.
I was Lucy. So I'm a social worker background, and I was working for like a domestic violence organization. And part of our role was to go into the local high schools and talk about safe and healthy relationships. So you can imagine
that
went over
scary.
Really well. It was so scary.
Oh my
teenagers are scary. Teenagers are literally so scary.
Fletcher's anxiety at the very beginning, he's like scared and anxious of starting high school to teach high school because he's afraid of teenagers. I'm like, this is a whole mood.
Relatable.
Like, yeah. Teenagers are terrifying.
They are. This book is, if you can't tell, it's very personal. I'm working through a lot of trauma here. So I was the one who had the binder.
Was it as outdated as Lucy's?
I had a little bit like more freedom and flexibility because we were like not part of the school. So we were like an outside provider that came in. But there were worksheets. There were some worksheets.
Oh, gosh.
And there, and you're like, there was role play. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And there's no way to like say role play with like teenagers.
With a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old without.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
No, I am so sorry for your past self. I do not envy that at all. Like, I'm sure you helped them and I'm sure it was good for them, but that's a scary thing to do.
Someone wrote in their review, or I don't know, maybe it was a TikTok. Someone was just talking about like how they cringed so much reading my book from like secondhand embarrassment. And I'm like, yeah, I cringe just thinking about all of those things.
You're like, imagine when I lived it, guys.
Or and like being Lucy. Like the book starts out for our listeners, like the very first thing that happens is that Lucy accidentally spills her tea all over Fletcher's crotch, and her knee-jerk reaction is to drop to her knees and start trying to dry his crotch for him in the teacher's lounge. And
honestly,
so of course,
though,
the entire school knows by the end of the day, every student and staff member knows that it's happened.
I wrote notes as I was like reading because there were so many things. And the first thing I wrote down, I was like, this is the cutest meat disaster ever. I'm like so embarrassed for her, but also it's kind of adorable.
I'm glad you had that reaction. I remember working with my editor because we were like, we have to make sure like this doesn't get like into like sexual harassment territory.
True.
That's true.
And, but I do want to like just put this on the record because I did share that like a lot of experiences in the book are based on things that happened in my real life. This was not one of them. So I just want that to be like abundantly clear.
That's fair.
Thank you.
I love how like from the second like he like comes back and meets her and like a face to face is like, I'm Fletcher. He's so freaking cute about her though. He's always just like, I want to see more of her. I want to hear more about her. Even if Georgia's standing there, he's like, I'm gonna bypass you. Right. To shake your hand and say hi to you.
I think that was something that was really important for Lucy and something that, I mean, I feel like I'm like plagiarizing my life, but it was something that I took from my own husband is like, I think, you know, when you have anxiety and you tend to overthink things, it's really helpful to have a partner that just really centers you and is like very calming presence. And like, he always is very just patient with her. Yeah. And I think there's like a part where they're about to go on their date. And like, I think she says something like Fletcher has like the same effect as like, it usually takes like a milligram of Ativan or something. And I think that says a lot about like their dynamic is that he sees her for all her anxieties and quirks, and like he's kind of like the center for her. And like I love that it's from the beginning of the relationship all the way to, well, there is no end. They're still together, guys.
Yeah.
Halfway together.
Thank you for that, because we're anxious. Okay.
Yes.
You have to stay for sure.
They are together forever and ever and ever.
Forever. Thank you.
Love it.
So you have a lot of, like you said, a lot of like fun side characters. There are two specifically that I started the book very viscerally angry with. And by the end, I was like, wait, am I okay with them? Do I kind of like them? How did you do that? Did you plan to make them that way? Because I was like, bleh. And then I was like, oh. Wait.
I'm assuming one is Dakota, right? Or Georgia. I get my states mixed up. Oh my
God. They both have state names.
I know. They bonded over that trauma. Georgia.
Georgia.
Yes. So I love like a misunderstood villain, and I like that she's unapologetically like a bitch, and she is fine with that, and she embraces that. And you know, she messed up, and she I don't want to give too much away, but she messed up and she owns up to that, I think, in the end. And I love a bitchy character. And I don't think that like there, and I don't know if it's like a redeemable or something like that, because we're all so flawed. And I just love that she owns her attitude. And I think like she and Lucy have a lot more in common than they realize.
Yeah. My sister is a Georgia. Like she is like, she will tell you, I'm an asshole. I'm a bitch. She was like always ready to fight. She's very argumentative, but like, she's also so like, once you get like, once she loves you are like, she's going to go to war for you.
Yeah, and
But like, if
that the
you cross
loyalty.
her, if you get that pineapple that she wanted at Walmart, she's like, oh no, I will cut you down. So I have like with Georgia, it was like, oh, that seems familiar. Maybe not with the mistake, but yeah, that was cool to see.
How much fun did you have incorporating all of these? Like, I wrote down a quote, like, as a Twilight obsessed millennial, dot dot dot. There's many mentions of things that are similar to that, and I've just felt like, again, you're pulling from my brain.
Yep.
But like, were there certain things that you were like, huh, this is going to be a fun inside joke for other
I have to put
millennials.
this. I have to
I
put this
have
in for the other
this is obvious. Like,
millennials.
we have to have this.
It's really just like word vomit from my brain and just like the random observations I have. And I remember thinking and like talking with my husband, because I entered this book into pitch wars, and I was like, this is not going to be everyone's cup of tea, because there's like so many random references. And like, you can kind of like, you really get a great understanding. Like, I hope like some psychiatrist reads this and like diagnoses me finally. Cause there's like, you can see like so many like tangents, and it's really just like how my brain works. Cause I'll jump from like a Lizzie McGuire reference to like talking about something like really serious. And it's very hard for me to like have conversations because that's how my brain works. So I was like, this is going to be such a niche book. Like, it's going to find, I like, I'm hoping it's going to find the readers that like love this and appreciate it. And I know it will find people that will be like, this girl needs like to like up her medication. And I'm okay with that, because like that, I've read books, like not every book is for every reader, and I'm totally ascribed to that. So I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm
I
glad I found my
loved all
people.
of it.
You
The
found the
like,
target audience
yeah, we
for
are the
us.
target audience. Like the whole, when she's talking about all the rom-coms and like listing off rom-coms, and then she says Crazy Rich Asians, I lost it. That is like one of my favorite movies of all time. It is my comfort movie. I literally sob every time.
I do too. The wedding scene, like when she walks down the aisle.
It's tears. I
Karen
can't
got
get through
Karen
that movie.
almost got mad at me because I told her I had a criticism.
I
Was
was
I will
so
not hear that. I will not
no,
hear it.
I was so
Well,
ready
you'll like
to
it.
like I was
Oh,
so
okay.
ready to like
I wanted,
end our
was it, I
friendship.
wanted the mom to come out and her long lost love, like after the credits, I wanted
Oh
the mom to
yeah.
come out and her long lost love be Kihi Kwan, just standing
Oh.
there. And
Okay,
then Karen was
I would
like,
take
I want
that.
to
I was
read
like, you
this.
know what? I
Yeah.
accept this. This
I
is
would
a
take that. Like,
criticism that I will accept.
whew, I was like a little nervous there. I need to
Literally,
log I did
off.
that to her. Yeah, I was like, I
Yes.
have a criticism, and I just left it at that. And she was like, I could feel the rage from across the country. She was like,
I
what?
was in the car
Yeah.
with my friend, and I was like, Mandy just said she had a criticism of Crazy Rich Asians, and she was like, are we breaking up with her? And then the text come through. I'm like, okay, I can
I was
call.
like, I
This
was
is
just
okay.
expecting this. This is what I wanted.
I was
Oh.
like,
So
okay.
what is, I feel like I already know it because I feel like you are a lot like I am in the way you said your brain works. I was downstairs at dinner tonight and I could feel myself stressing my husband out because I would say a sentence and then I would say something that was completely unrelated. And then I was back over here and I just kept on ping-ponging with my thoughts. And I know he was just sitting there like, I can't. So what kind of a writer are you? Are you a plotter or are you a pantser?
Okay, so I pantsed this entire book, which was this book has been rewritten like so many times. This was like a I write about it in the book, in the like author's note at the end. I was in an intensive like outpatient program for postpartum depression when I was writing this book. And I was in therapy, and we had therapy every single day. We had group and then we had individual. And my individual therapist was talking to me, and I think I was doing the ping pong, and she was like, "Have you ever considered just like writing down some of these thoughts?" And she was like, "I think journaling would be really good for you." and so I just started kind of word vomiting like a book that I would want to read, but I didn't think was like very marketable, because I was trying to write romance, but I was like, it needs to be like celebrity Hollywood and kidnappings, and like it needs to have like plot and like drama. And this is, my agent called it a very quiet book. Like, it's a lot of internal character development. Not too much happens like in the book, which, you know, I'm great at selling this. It's a great book.
No,
it is a great book.
It's just like more like character development. So this is not answering your question. So I totally pantsed this one, and like multiple times, because then I got into pitch wars, then I reworked it with my agent and then my editor. So it was like a whole journey. Now I will not do that to myself. I can't. So what I do is now I outline, like, and it's like very heavy outline. Like, I'll even, and if I have like a funny idea for like a conversation or like something, like a random line that I want to make sure I mention, I'll put that in the outline. And that is, and also, you know, before, when I have like my baby, like when I was writing it, she was a baby, you know, they don't really like do much. So I could just like put her down and like write. Now I have an almost 5-year-old, and I have to plot, because I cannot just like sit and be like, let me see where the inspiration takes me today. It's
That's
like, I have
point.
7 minutes. I need to know what I'm writing today.
That is a good
You are giving
point.
Me so much hope, though, because I have two works in progress, and one of them's got like 85,000 words.
Oh, shoot.
But the thought of like outlining, I feel, is impossible for my brain, because it's so organized. And normally I can be like organized digitally with files and stuff. But the thought of like organizing my thoughts into something coherent seems impossible. But if like, it sounds like easy. It's like you're making it sound like it's easier than I build it up in my head to be.
I feel like that's the same as like, there's a scene where Lucy is like explaining why she's not doing these simple things. Like, thinking about doing it is overwhelming, and
it's
then it just
overwhelming.
Builds up
yeah.
and up and up. And that is what writing an outline feels like sometimes.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. I don't know if there's any like secret to it. I just know that if I pants it, I am setting myself up to like fail, because I cannot get into it. Like, before, when I could write, I would like write for like 3 hours, because she was a great napper. I mean, I never knew when she was going to nap, but when she went down, oof, she went down. So I could like, and I would prefer to write that way. Like, I had a really, and I still do have a great support system. So if I say like, I want to go lock myself away in a room today and write for X amount of hours, like I could. And I prefer to write that way. Like, I'm a fast, but that's slowly becoming less and less of a reality. So I just have to find a way to make it work. And I think something that my mentor made me do was reverse outline a book. So I had to reverse outline this book. And I think once you go through that, you'll never want to pants again.
Can you explain
what is reverse outline? Yeah. What is this?
So like, it's good. It was helpful. Like push-ups, you know, like whatever.
Exercise.
It's basically where you have the book and like your beats are off, like the pacing's off, like, but you need to like dissect it. So you basically have to take everything you wrote and like make it into an outline. And then you can see like, wow, in chapter 3, I jump ahead like 2 weeks and like, don't explain that, like, which is harder. Like when you're in the draft, it's kind of harder to see that. But when you take like a bird's eye view and you can really see like, cause one of the things that I struggle with is timelines in writing. And like, I'll be like writing about like a Wednesday afternoon brunch or whatever, a dinner, cause that's in the afternoon. And then all of a sudden it's like Monday again, but it's like the Monday before. Like, so I just really struggle with that. So part of my outline is I pick a day like August 3rd, and I'll look up on the calendar and be like, August 3rd is a Sunday. So I will date it like that because I need that to be like so black and white. Otherwise, I will just be like, it's all of a sudden it's April. It's spring.
We're jumping timelines, guys. Come on. This is the multiverse.
Oh my gosh. I can never write a multi-timeline.
God, no.
No.
I don't know how people do it, honestly.
They're I can barely keep track of my own life. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah,
that is so interesting.
Yeah, like once you do it,
you wouldn't think of
you don't want to do it again. It's help. It was helpful. It was like it got me into a place where I could look at really like beat structure because I didn't know what any of that was. Oh, but yeah, that was hard.
Hey, if it helped you hone your craft, then it was worth it.
Yes. Thank you.
As yeah. like you said, like push-ups,
like
it
push-ups.
Was worth it.
Got my biceps or, now.
Yeah, it just sucks. Yeah, it just sucks when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you have, I feel like there are some possibilities for not sequels, but like spin-offs with certain characters. Like they could yes. get their own stories. Do you have any plans for that?
Or... Yes. Ooh. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Please.
So it's so funny because a lot of people are asking me for Brody.
And yes, that's one of the things yes. I wrote. I was
I
like,
know, I love I Brody so much.
I have a problem because I essentially want two books from Brody. I want the like a prequel story about his.
I
love
can't
story.
Survive the prequel. I can't.
No, yeah, it's not a romance. It's
no.
You just up until they like fall in love.
Maybe I can make it like a just, paranormal just, and like just resurrect her.
Hey,
I'm in.
Okay.
But I love from the moment he shows up. I love
yeah.
Brody.
He's a fan
he has
favorite.
His little daughter. Oh.
I know. Oops. But if you look at the metadata, I think that's what it's called, like the subtitle, or it's called Galindo Sisters. So there's a sister coming.
Oh.
Yes. So, that was my other hope.
Yes. So yeah. The sisters will be coming. Yes. And then, you know, when I have like my long illustrious career, we'll, you know, throw Brody a bone and get him laid.
Yes.
Speaking of the sisters, that family is so relatable. Just all up in each other's business. And
there are no boundaries.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God. It's a lot.
It is. And it's such a contrast to like Fletcher's family that keeps everything like so like close to the chest and
rigid
they...
and yeah.
And, you know, there's, I think they'll be good for each other. I think they'll help each other.
Mm-hmm. So there's the Lucy and her family are very mixed, like culturally, ethnicities, all of that, religiously even. Yeah. And I know that's part of your background as well, right? You are also, or at least you grew up Jewish and...
Yeah, so my dad's Moroccan, French Moroccan, and we grew up Sephardi Jewish, which is a little bit different from like the a lot of people know about like the Ashkenazi Jewish, like the bagels, Seinfeld. And I grew up in like the Rhode Island, Boston Jewish community, which is like very Ashkenazi. So when Lucy talks about not really fitting in with like that Jewish community, it stems from a lot of that experience. And it's interesting because you know, when you come from like a minority community, you don't want to like talk badly about the community, but there are some troubles in like the Jewish community with, you know, just some comments that were made. There's a comment in the book about the rabbi calling Lucy's dad, like he wasn't Jewish, like he was Arab. And like people have said that to like my dad. And like at my bat mitzvah, I was the first woman to have a bat mitzvah in our family, which was very exciting. But my mom was excluded from the ceremony. So like, and that happened to Lucy. So there's, this book, I didn't realize.
It was like your therapy, honestly.
I mean, my therapist literally told me to do this. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Props to her. I mean, she earned that degree. So yeah, so there's a lot of that. And then I married a Mexican man. We live in Mexico. So I drew a lot of inspiration from that cultural experience as well. And, you know, there's a line about chicharrones giving me gas and that, or giving Lucy gas. And that has happened to me.
I just want to come to like a family reunion with all of your family and just eat because the food is probably on another level. Good.
Do you do Shabbat? Like, can we come to Shabbat dinner?
So it's so funny because when I'm at my parents, so they still live and like they spend half the year in the Boston area and then they usually spend the other half in France where a lot of my family now lives. And my mom is like an amazing cook. So I cook a little bit, I dabble and it's so good. But here we have, my husband's brother makes tamales every Friday. So like, I'm so proud to be Jewish. I love being Jewish. I love my traditions, but like they're tamales, you know, like, at some point you have to make a decision. Like, do you like sit there and like make the challah for like 3 hours or do you like go and eat the tamales? Sometimes I do both and like really carb load for the night. And it's so much fun because there's a lot of family here, so it's a lot of family, a lot of tamales, so you know it's a balance. But if someone's gonna tell me like they're gonna cook and it's gonna be tamales, like I'll be Jewish tomorrow. I can be Jewish tomorrow.
I'm on my way
it's fine
but I do love Shabbat. It's like I think I use the line like a Uno reverse card. Like it really is about like resetting and like I try to shut down, I try to stay off social media, and it really is like a really beautiful tradition.
That was one of my favorite parts, was when she was explaining when they were having, you know, they were I think it was lighting a candle at the Shabbat beginning candle. And she was like kind of explaining like this is like you said the Uno reverse, and I was like, this is stuff that like I don't know. And because obviously I'm not Jewish. And so it was like so eye-opening and so beautiful the way that she describes it, because it's like, wow, like we don't ever slow down like that. Mm-mm. And to have kind of that kind of built into who you are is just, I love that. Especially for like somebody like Lucy, who is very anxious and has a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Like I love that for her.
Yes. And I think that was part of like Lucy, just her life is centering herself and like, and finding her calm. Cause even as much as her family like drives her bananas and like totally oversteps, she gets so much comfort and strength from them. And that strength comes in those Friday evening dinners and her sisters. They really, at the end of the day, you know, you would give, you know, your kidney for your sister, but you won't like give her your cell phone charger. Like that is the vibe of.
Absolutely. I can say whatever I want. Let anybody else.
Yeah.
Let anybody else say something about my sister. It is the end. So we have, this is a question that we always ask our authors. And this is the moment where every bit of media you've ever consumed is going to leave your brain.
Okay.
We have a segment that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we choose a favorite fictional character from that week. Doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. I had a fictional bestie this week. Do you have any characters, either from your book or from a show, a book you've read, that you're like, that is my boo thing. That is my best friend. That is my granny.
So I have a book, but like, that I'm reading that I really like the guy, but when you like explain it like that, I'm thinking about like Tiptoe the Turtle. Do you know Tiptoe the Turtle?
No.
Oh, he's on TikTok and he's like this like ancient turtle. And
oh, I love it.
I know. And I don't know why. I just, when you like were explaining it, I'm like, pet. That's Tiptoe.
We had fictional puppies 1 week.
Okay.
Yep. That's what we chose. So that's totally valid answer.
And I'm going to have to go follow Tiptoe now.
Yeah.
I never really thought like I would be a turtle person, but they have they have personality and like they go to bed at like 4:30. And I just really feel like that lifestyle aligns with mine quite well.
Yeah. My grandparents have one that walked up into their yard and it looked like his shell had been like caught in a lawnmower. And so it nicked off like part of his shell. But my grandmother is like Snow White with animals. Like she's the weirdo with like the little cage in the basement for a squirrel that she's nursing back to health. She's got this turtle. She's had him for years at this point. And she fixed his shell. And now he just wanders around the house. Aww. And he's so cute. He'll try to get under the fridge and he's really mad that he can't.
Aww.
Yeah, turtles are awesome.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm going to go follow Tiptoe when we finish recording. He's got another follower now. Thanks to you.
So the other question that we always ask our guests is, we know that we love your book and we're very excited for anything else that comes next. But what are you reading? What are you recommending? What's your favorite book of all time? Anything like
Oh gosh, I can't pick a
that?
favorite book of all time. I have this thing where like I get amnesia after I finish a book.
Same, yeah.
So I'll never be able to answer that question. But I can tell you the book I recently finished. It's from another Forever debut that you have to have on the podcast because her book is amazing.
Amazing.
It's an ARC. Is that cheating if it's an ARC? Because you guys
No.
can't. Okay. It's The Next Best Fling by Gabrielle Gamis.
I'm so excited for that book.
I got it like a month ago, January.
I was talking to Dana and I was like, so
Sell
I'm gonna
your
talk to
soul. Get
I'm about to talk to Mandy and we're gonna have her come, right? We'll discuss
it.
this because
Oh.
this premise sounds so
It's
good.
so cute. And it's if you like, it's laugh out loud funny. And it just like it reminds the hero's an ex-football player, which like very, Jason Kelce vibes. And
Love. I'm
I know.
obsessed.
And he's kind of like golden-y retriever. And
But Jason Kelce
I that's what I'm going with.
I
And
love
except
him.
like in the book, he doesn't have a Travis. His brother sucks.
Yeah.
but you'll see. But he's like one of those, like he falls first and falls harder. And like they're pretending to date. And we're not gonna catch feelings. This is just physical. And it's like
Course
a
it is.
steamy book. It's a steamy book.
I'm
I
so
blushed.
excited.
But it's so good and it's so funny and it's like it's not very angsty. It's like very just like, let's bang this out. And I just it was so good. But it was really nice because like both of the characters are fake dating to like get their attention off of the people that they like really love. But they're wrong for them. And and they realize like that their own self-worth like through their love that grows like through each other. And I just love that. I love when
That is
people
so
yes.
nice.
grow with each other and realize like I don't deserve to be treated like this because
Treated this
I'm
way.
way
Yeah.
better. And Jason Kelce loves me. So yeah. So it's
I
so
know,
good. If you
like,
can like, sell a kidney.
I have a NetGalley copy on my
Oh,
Kindle,
good.
so I'm
Okay.
excited.
Very
Yeah.
good.
I'm already getting ready to like email Dana, be like, "Hey,
Yeah,
so
get on that.
hey,
Yeah.
about that interview. Can we possibly?"
So don't want to keep you too much longer, but we've talked about more Galindo sisters. Do you have anything else that you're working on that you can talk about?
I am a slow and steady, I'm like tiptoe, okay? So I'm just kind of I love traditional publishing because I can take like a year to write a book
I love.
and I'm prolific. So I don't know how these like Indian hybrid authors are like publishing a book like every 3 months. That will never be me.
No, I don't get it. Like, it's
No.
great for the readers, but like,
Yeah.
how do you do
I
that? Do
couldn't.
you sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I will, it might be 2025. I'm thinking that. So you'll see me
We'll
eventually.
see. Yay. Well,
Well,
speaking of
speaking of that,
which,
Karen's got some bad news for you.
we do have to let you know that
Okay.
now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
That makes sense.
It was in the
Okay.
fine print. We don't make the rules, we
Yeah.
just enforce them.
Okay. Yeah.
So next year
I
or
will be
whenever
back.
it is, we'll have you back. We'll talk about the next sister and
Yep.
we'll have a blast.
Okay. I'll be
Everybody,
here. All
by the
right,
time
everybody.
when this episode comes out, it
Got
will
it on my
still be
Kindle.
time to pre-order. You can still pre-order Flirty
Oh,
Little,
cool.
like, first of all, this cover is
I just
adorable.
realized it says A plus novel.
It does, because it is
Dead.
an A plus novel.
Dead. Love
It's
it.
so good. It's
I
so
freaking
good.
love that so much.
Go pre-order it now. It comes out on March 19th, and it's so good. And especially if you are an anxious girly, you will love our
You
queen,
are
Lucy.
relatable. Relatable. You don't even
Relatable.
understand. Especially if you're a millennial anxious
So
girly. The
much.
references are there. Okay.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I highlighted so much while reading
Yep.
because I was like, this is everything.
Thank
Thank you so much for hanging out with us,
you both.
Jessica.
This was so
It has
much
been
fun.
so much fun.
Thank
We'll
you.
see
Hey,
you soon.
enjoy
All
your tamales tomorrow. Oh,
right.
yes. Yes, I will. Thank you.
Yes.
Have one for us.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I love
I
her. She's
adore her.
one of
One of
us.
us. My God. And like, I didn't think about it until you said it. But yeah, Lucy is our queen. She is our anxious queen.
Absolutely.
I'm obsessed. You guys, I'm not kidding. I was reading this book and I was reading and I was reading and I got to the end and then it was 3 o'clock and I don't know how
And
that
you're like,
happened.
oh my God, how did this happen?
I don't know how that happened and I am very tired, but it was so worth it. It was so worth it. Go pre-order it
Yep.
right now.
Do it.
So good.
We got a super cool announcement.
Yes, you
A
guys.
repeat offender.
Oh yes, it's RK Ashwick. She's coming back to the podcast to talk about her latest book, The Spirit Well, which is the sequel to The Stray Spirit. I always confuse which one's the first
I
book.
know, I do too.
I had to think about it. So we're really excited to have her back and to jump back into cozy fantasy because my God, does she write a good
The
cozy
cozy
fantasy?
queen, yeah.
Yeah. So we're so excited to chat with her again.
I guess now it's
And
time for a spiel.
it is indeed.
A rapid fire spiel so we can get you into the bed.
God, here we go. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, which houses all of our podcast episodes, as well as the blog, which has many recommendations. So visit both of those things. If you are interested in early access to podcast episodes, video episodes, exclusive bonus content, early access to announcements, you can subscribe to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. And if you are interested in some Incoherent Fangirl merch, you can go to our merch shop, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop.
Woo!
We've got lots of cute stuff designed by this one over here. And we do still have our limited edition Intruder Alert shirt until the end of the month. Once March is over, it will be gone forever. So go get your order in,
Get it.
Mandy.
I know. Listen, I don't have a brain cell,
It's
okay?
okay. It's okay. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that
We'll
in our
take it.
inbox. TheIncoherentFangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. Funny aside, I was at work and my boss, there was a meeting and she was like, "Does anybody have any questions, comments?" And I was like, in my mind, like going through the spiel,
You just want to
like,
tell
whoops, just tell us we're pretty.
we're pretty.
And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love
We
words.
love your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and do some self-care and visit our internet besties, starting with herecomesnerd.com, where you can co use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. You're going to get a book box. You're going to get some goodies. And you can, we have two codes. You pick one. You can't stack them. We love you no matter which one you use. You can use either Karen 10 or Mandy 10 and get 10% off. But just make sure you spell Karen
Otherwise, you will get 0% off, and that
right.
is sad.
0%.
And once
Who
you've done
pays full
that,
price?
why pay full price when you could get 10% off? I'm just like,
Right?
you're
Just saying.
losing money.
Yeah.
And once you have done that, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com to get some tea and coziness. Use code FANGIRLT to get 10% off. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in FANGIRL. It's FANGRLTEA.
And then you're going to go to amberdlewis.com and buy a dozen of everything to hand out to everyone you know, and get ready for what's coming next.
Yes.
And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. Amber D. Lewis, I'm sure we'll have her back
Probably.
soon.
And then once you have finished supporting us and our internet besties, it's time to head over and support the show husband. Did he fix the microphone stand? Are we keeping him?
No, but it's because I forgot.
Okay.
It
Okay.
left my brain as soon as I went downstairs last
All
week, and
right.
so it's still falling over, but that's not his fault. That's
Okay.
mine. So we'll
We
keep
can
him.
accept that for now.
Listen.
For now.
Listen. But this is going to sound this is just me being funny. The man talked very dirty to me today. He called me and he said, "Do you want me to bring home Jim and Nix for dinner?"
Oh,
which is Jim and Nick's barbecue, on a day that I had to pick up a grocery order and put groceries away. You mean to tell me you're going to bring delicious barbecue home and I don't have to cook? Say it again.
All right. I guess we'll keep him.
I was like, I love it when you talk to me like this. Bringing home food. And that was after he picked up my Target order for me. Absolutely keeping that one.
All right.
So now that you're finished with this episode, you're going to go listen to the Paranormal Mind podcast. I can't remember what this week's episode is about. I think it's about near-death experiences or quantum immortality. I think this week maybe quantum immortality. Both are fascinating. Yours truly is in both of them. Then once you're done with their episode and you've rated and reviewed, just like you've done for us, you're going to go follow the Paranormal Mind and Searchers Believe on all the things. And you're going to head to searchers.com and or searchersbelieve.com. I'm sorry, searchersbelieve.com/shop and use code fangirl10 to get 10% off. All of those designs are by yours truly as well.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes she just likes to break out the iPad and see what comes out. Yeah.
The chaos girly is chaos.
The chaos girly is chaos. And if you want to follow the show husband, he's at Born a Josh.
Yes, he is.
On Instagram.
We're quite fond of the show husband.
George Bailey interrupts one of the episodes, admiring himself in the mirror because we had to record here. And he's just like staring at himself. And so we all, of course, the world stopped and we were like, look at what he's doing. He is so cute.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's so cute.
What else can you do if that's happening? Nothing.
Right. Not a thing.
Exactly.
That was my friends, the incoherent fangirl.
Thanks for listening.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.